I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today are my fellow Stage Door alums. It's D Speeds and Shady, everyone. Woo!
Let's go.
What time is it?
Showtime.
That's what they did.
I will fix that in editing. how is everyone doing this fine morning?
Well, I watched this film. I finished watching this film at 3 a.m. Last night.
Oh.
And it's 10 a.m. So I'm filled with the spirit of music.
Yes, and we're here today to talk about the 2008 DCOM Camp Rock. It was written by Karen Gist, Regina Hicks, Julie Brown, and Paul Brown. Directed by Matt.
I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't really. You're telling me five people worked on this, and this is what they came up with for dialogue.
Four people wrote this movie.
I just noticed, I didn't notice it before. Is that like the Julie Brown, like who's also in the movie, wrote this?
Hold on, I'm checking.
Or wait, no.
A writer?
Yes, it was.
The head of the camp was also a writer?
No, no, not the head of the camp, just the random counselor.
The redhead lady.
Who's the like, redhead.
Ah. Oh, I thought she was like the head. Oh, that's right, true. The Australian dude is the head of the camp, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I got very distracted because I love Julie Brown. This is beneath her.
She was
it is not controversial to say that.
She was a VJ, right? An MTV VJ?
An MTV VJ. She was in the movie Clueless. She was in the movie Earth Girls Are Easy. She was in a really crazy movie from the 80s, slasher movie, where the killers are three young children. She's awesome in that. Called I think like Bloody Birthday or something. She's cool. She's like a B movie queen, and I just was so sad that she was in this movie. I mean, like, she probably got a good paycheck out of it.
Okay, so this is maybe a good way to start the conversation.
Wait, hold on. Let me just
yeah, sorry,
hold on. I need
sorry.
To let me finish my thingy.
Oh,
me.
Yeah, finish my thingy. Oh, yeah.
And according to IMDb, because you harped right on it, and I was looking to see if Paul Brown was related to her. I can't find anything, but socials. And
this is why you can't get the three of us in a room together or Zoom together.
You suggested this!
That's true.
And according to IMDb, at a music camp for gifted teens, a popular teen idol overhears a girl singing and sets out to find who the talented voice belongs to. What he doesn't know is that the girl is actually a camp kitchen worker with a fear of being heard.
Hmm.
Is that what this piece of shit is about?
Hmm.
I think that's what it was supposed to be about.
Okay, so I've never seen this before.
This is how I wanted to frame this conversation, I think.
Okay.
This movie came out in 2008. It came out in June 2008. My first summer at Stage Door was August 2008.
Oh. Sorry, how old were you?
I was 12.
Wow. Okay.
12 years old.
2008, so that's the year John and I turned 20.
Yeah.
So we're a little outside the window for this movie,
yes.
I think.
To be honest, so here's the thing is I kind of feel like I was too, even at 12. Because I loved High School Musical. I still loved a couple other like Disney Channel original movies that came out. I think I'm having trouble of like, for a movie that is about camp, about like a music-based camp, and for how much that the camp where we all means to me in my life, why do I absolutely not like this film?
Okay, no, it's not you, because
okay.
I hated this movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I did the whole zombies trilogy with John on this podcast. I can find joy in something that is obviously not meant for me. And I just this
yeah,
was
yeah, oh, totally
off. everything about this movie was just off.
And yeah, there's something we talked about off. One of the High School Musical movies where this is following that formula, because that's what DCOMs turned into once High School Musical blew up. But I have an answer, or I have an idea.
Cool.
I don't know if I've talked to both of you specifically about my me not liking child actors in movies. This is a prime example, because it feels like this is everyone's first time on film, mm-hmm. not knowing how to act, and they're reading lines written by 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah, these lines are so... I have a couple... I have a couple lines that I pulled, if I may.
Sure, go for it.
Is it whatever, major loser?
That's up there.
That was very 90s. That was something we were doing in the 90s.
Yeah. Or as Demi Lovato says right afterwards, oh, everyone knows that's so last year, and apparently that's the biggest burn ever.
Ooh.
Unless that's how girls fight. That also could be how girls fight, teenage girls
no,
fight.
No, that's how 40-year-olds write teenage girls fighting. Mm-hmm.
That's how you write teenage girls fighting when you can't be as edgy as Mean Girls.
Or Euphoria.
There's the there's the whisper in the ear. Hey, Shane Ground's looking for the girl with the voice.
Oh my god, that montage is actually, I mean, there are pockets of sunshine in this where I was like, oh, you almost, I can see it. You have it. Because
Oh, don't, I've got some sharps for this movie.
I got some sharps, but like mm-hmm. I watched this movie twice in a 12-hour period.
Oh my god.
Because the second time I watched it super not sober.
Nice.
Because I was like, maybe I'm in the wrong state of mind. Maybe I need to be a little more free with my mind. And let me tell you, that second time I was so violent towards this movie. It had an adverse effect where I got hypercritical about everything. I went on a whole journey about Demi Lovato because I realized I hate her hairstyle in this.
Oh.
It's because she's got like a wall of bangs and her face is so short, but her smile is so big.
Yeah, the bangs are not flattering to frame that face. It's yeah. not a flattering cut at all. It should supposedly have been like a softer like feather, which I did not watch the sequel. There is the sequel.
I hate
the color of Demi's hair in that, but the cut is way better. The cut is much softer framed around her face.
Supposedly during the scene where they're at the lake, Demi later said that she cut her bangs because she could see her reflection in Joe's eyes, or like off of some sunglasses or something. And she's like, yeah, I hate these bangs.
Oh.
And she's like 16, 15 when they're filming this. So I can only imagine that was not her, her favorite moment of her life.
And listen, also,
we all have to have a bang journey at some point in our lives.
And also
so
she looks,
that it happened so early.
Her hair looks a lot like Lea Michele's hair in Glee. And I don't like Rachel Berry. So I think that's the association I had where I was like, you're bad. I don't like you. Even though I don't really like anybody in this movie.
Wait, can I hit you with one more spoken dialogue
yeah.
and one lyric.
God.
So spoken dialogue is Joe Jonas as Shane Gray on the phone saying, come on guys, it's been 3 hours. I need hair product.
Womp womp.
And then there's Lola's song in the cafeteria, which the second part of the chorus, the lines are, what it takes to be my beau, what it takes to make me glow, what it takes to make this beat flow.
Yeah. Speaking of Lola, by the way.
So Lola is the one whose mom is on Broadway.
Sure.
Her mom's on Broadway, but that doesn't matter here.
That doesn't matter because she only
has
that
one.
They only
care about the bling.
Because she's in that one song, and then we don't see her again until the montage of Shane looking for the voice, right? Right? Is that right? Or do we just not see her again?
And then she's at lunch.
Yeah, I think we're supposed supposed to think she's one of Allison Stoner's friends, but we never see them interact as friends until Mitchie is brought to their lunch table, I think.
What fucking name is Mitchie?
Mitchie, I mean, I think it's cute. I think Tess is a cute name. There's a lot of names in here where I'm like, those are fine names. They're just not likely for these characters.
But like, what is Mitchie? Is Mitchie the name or the nickname? Because I'm like, is it short for Michelle? Is there a longer name?
I was assuming they were going for, because also very clearly written by people of an older generation, so much of what their rock, quote unquote, aesthetic is in this is not of 2008. It's very of Disney Channel 2008, but also combined with like, I thought Mitchie 90s. Might be a reference to like Joni Mitchell. I was thinking there was a lot of Janis Joplin inspiration in the wardrobe. We will get to the wardrobe later, but it was like a lot of like those like flowing blouses and everything. And I was like, these are people who like their rock music is the 70s, which is fine. Great decade for rock. Great time for rock. Late 60s, early 70s. That is not what is relevant to teenagers of 2008, though. And I think like Mitchie, I had assumed was supposed to be a reference to Joni Mitchell, because I think that's kind of what the type of star they wanted Mitchie to be, or the type of singer they wanted Mitchie to be. Demi has a very different type of voice to Joni Mitchell, but I think they were going for like a similar, like sort of more down to earth. I guess like nowadays the reference would be Taylor Swift. But in 2008, Taylor Swift was still like a MySpace girl. She was not like the pop star of the moment yet.
Yeah. Or were they going for like a You Belong to Me Taylor Swift, do you think?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or even a Teardrops on My Guitar Taylor Swift.
I mean, her big song sounded like Avril Lavigne to me, but that's also because that's closer to Demi's actual vocal range. So I don't know what they were going for before they cast Demi.
Wait, which is the one that sounded like Everywhere to me? Because you're everywhere.
This is me.
Yes.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Michelle Branch. Maybe Mitchie's supposed to be a reference to Michelle Branch. I don't know.
Oh, Mitchie short for Michelle. Yeah, Michelle Branch.
Also, who was also expecting Tess to sing Mitchie's song?
Yeah, the fact that she finds the lyrics and then it just doesn't come up again.
Yeah.
Well, because Mitchie sings it for them. And then she's like, this is my super secret journal that I'm going to hide under my mattress.
Even though she gets kicked out of that room, too.
Does she get kicked out of the room? I thought she just got, you know, defriended and was still just staying there, apparently.
Well, she might go back with her mom. Because, again, apparently, originally, she's bunking with her mom.
And her dad is there, by the way, everyone, in case you forgot. Because I sure as shit did.
Yeah,
I forgot there was a dad in this movie until he shows up at the grill randomly, and then at the end of the show,
he's seen at least three times. He's seen at the beginning when they're like, "We're going to Camp Rock, woo!" And then there's a moment when Allison Stoner first starts working in the kitchen, and the mom is like, "Oh yeah, we're six hands," and you see him walk behind her, and she goes, "Six." Because there's only two people she sees. And then he's at the end.
Six would be her. And
no, six would be Demi Lovato.
I know what I'm saying, but six would be Allison Stoner, the mom, and then Demi. That's six.
No, it's the mom, the dad, and Demi Lovato. He purposefully walks behind them. I watched this twice. I watched this twice in a 12-hour period.
I'm going to agree with both of you because I was not paying enough attention at that point. I was like, okay, I get it.
Because that's when Allison Stoner, looks at Demi Lovato when Demi Lovato has that ginormous bag of chips in front of her, and she goes, "You must be hands 5 and 6."
Well, it's not as bad as the white face that she does when Joe Jonas walks in with the flower.
Oh, and you could never tell who it is because you put some powder on that face. Nobody can recognize that very distinct smile.
Nobody, a very distinct, giant smile.
Yeah, like I love Demi's smile. It's so beautiful. That's why Demi got work as a child actor. I'm sure of it. And that's why their voice is so big, is because they've got that beautiful wide mouth. But like, you can't just like smile real big like that and then be like, yeah, you could be Demi Lovato, but you could be anyone else at this camp. No, that's Demi Lovato.
Do you know who was supposed to play Mitchie?
Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Whoa, good guess.
Yes, yes. And I forget.
You know who was supposed to play Shane Gray?
I forgot who that was. It was not
Taylor Lautner.
Oh!
But because Miley dropped out, they brought in the Jonas Brothers because the Jonas Brothers were big Disney.
Oh, okay. That was like this was the Jonas Brothers movies. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
It was their draw. That yeah. They were the draw for people because this so is they Demi's. Didn't have,
they lost
first...
Hannah Montana. We'll put in Joe Bro.
Yes. Apparently, well, Demi
had
Lovato
book
worked
stuff,
on
like,
Barney.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why there's that.
Like as
Barney's
a tiny
joke.
Child, they were in stuff. But this is, as far as I know, this was the first time I had ever heard of Demi Lovato was when this movie was coming out. I was also like only peripherally aware of this movie when it was coming out. Again, I was in college. We watched like High School Musical because it was funny and fun, but like we weren't watching Disney Channel in our dorms.
No.
So we were like
no.
sort of like vaguely peripherally aware of it. I knew like one girl who'd been like a Jonas Brothers fan from like back in the day, like before they got real famous. So like she was the reason I knew about it. She was like, oh, the Jonas Brothers are like getting really big now because of Disney Channel.
Okay, so here's some things that I think the movie does do well.
Okay.
And like why I think I should like this.
Okay.
I was not a Joe Bro lover necessarily, but they're from Jersey.
Hey,
which I
we love
always
that.
knew. So
we love a Jersey
I always
boy.
Respected that. They're from like right where I grew up. A lot of my like female cousins loved the Jonas Brothers. So I support them in that. And then like even in the beginning when they get to camp, which I would later learn that summer, it was true. Like the fact that everyone is kind of like, when you walk into Stage Door that first day, you walk into the main building, there are, you know, staff members dressed in period costumes. There is somebody playing piano, kind of doing an open little like piano mic for anybody who wants to sing a song. And those first few years, like I made sure I always did, and like oh, there always was somebody doing that. And then, you know, when people were on their breaks, there was always somebody playing the piano by the ping pong tables, or you'd see somebody sneak off into a studio to, you know, work on a song.
Right,
there are
that's
these,
what
like,
they were doing, D Speeds. They were working on a song.
I worked on several songs while I was at camp.
I'm going to
send
this. I'm
not supposed to know this. I'm supposed to report it.
I'm going to send this to every staff member from Stage Door Manor.
It's all right.
From the years you were there, so you can retroactively get punished for it.
Well, I do agree. I want to just like piggyback off of that. Like, just there are so many small moments where we catch that like camp atmosphere that I do really like and find very charming about this movie. So I'm going to agree with you on that. Like the stuff with the kids just like drumming wherever they can, and just like randomly playing their instruments, even though like that's like the only time we see them play instruments is like during that weird little montage where they're all whispering to each other.
And they're
I wish
holding
there were
them
more...
wrong. Some
they
of them
are holding,
holding
them wrong.
Them wrong.
And it's also like, why are you playing the French horn at Camp Rock? Like, good for you. We need French horn players in the world. But like, I would assume Camp Rock would be focused on strings and percussion, whatever. But like, I liked like that little stuff, especially like, you know, when Julie Brown comes up, I'm assuming Julie Brown is like the camp director and the Australian guy is like the camp owner.
Slash Joe Jonas's uncle.
Slash Joe Jonas's uncle.
Yeah.
And also, are the other Jonas brothers supposed to be his brothers in this? Because I couldn't, they kept saying your uncle, but they look too much like brothers to not be brothers.
I don't know, but I fucking love
originally
Kevin.
It wasn't supposed to be a band. It was just supposed to be like a solo artist. And
that
then they're like, oh, we got Joe Jonas. We might as well use the rest of the Jonas Brothers.
Right, because of the fame and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because
yeah,
that whole thing.
Before they became the Jonas Brothers, like as a band, wasn't was it Nick Jonas who was on Broadway? Like,
yes.
Finlay Miz? Okay, he was Gavroche.
It was Gavroche.
Yeah. Okay. So
and then he came back.
Because he's the youngest one, right? The one with the curly hair?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought acting-wise, he was... I mean, he had less to do than Joe, but I thought he was the most convincing of the three brothers.
I know, but I'm also sorry. Hashtag justice for Kevin. Kevin always gets the low blow. His lines were so cheesy, so corny, so not good, but I love that man. Good for him. Good for him is all I'm going
to
say.
They tried to make him the comedic relief, but calibrated comedy for like preschoolers, and I think he did a great job with that. It wasn't funny to me, but if I were a preschooler, I'd be like, man, that's fucking hilarious.
It's also, he's like the oldest, so it's like...
Yeah, he got married like youngest, I think, too.
Wait,
right?
Is
like,
Kevin
he got
the oldest? I thought
quickly.
Joe was the oldest.
No, Joe's the middle.
Joe's the one who was dating Taylor Swift. I know that.
He's the one that's married to Priyanka Chopra Jonas.
No,
that's
Nick,
Nick
Jonas. Joe Jonas married Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones, and they just like he just filed for divorce, and he's like besmirching her name in the media, and everybody's like, "That's fucked up." We're Team Sophie right now. So,
and Kevin's married his childhood sweetheart.
That's so cute. Good for him.
I always
and
thought
you can also
Joe was
see,
the oldest.
You can also see Joe's purity ring in this film.
Oh, that's a moment in time. I remember them making fun of that on South Park.
Well, so Kevin and Anna Maria Perez de Tagli, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I'm sorry. The Tess's, you know, backup, quote unquote, that is dumb.
Not Peggy.
The ditzy one.
The two of them are in their own separate movie, I feel like.
100%. Oh, you mean especially when all of a sudden Margaret, Peggy, which again, when I was 12 years old, did not know that Peggy was short for Margaret. And
I did, but that's because my grandma was Peggy.
I have
But then all of a sudden she comes out, has this big moment of a song. It's like, "Here I Am," which is also very similar to the last moment of "This Is Me." So I feel like they kind of played that moment twice. And then all of a sudden she gets a huge flashback montage as if like, I was
from
like,
her perspective, and you're like,
she did not have an arc in this movie. She was a background character. It is flashbacks to her being a background character. It's hilarious.
And reacting as the trope that she is.
Yeah.
Because like, she is the one making, like, person of color in the main cast.
Yeah. It's just her making sassy faces at the blonde girl.
And
who we know is evil because she's the only blonde in the movie, and it's a Disney Channel movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, so we're following the Sharpay Evans route.
And Peggy, the actress, is lip syncing. That's not her singing. Somebody else did it. She's the only one. Everyone else sang.
Oh gosh.
I don't understand because it's not.
Well, I should
big
use
sing part.
In quotes because the songs that Tess sings are so auto-tuned. I don't know what's real and what's not.
Right.
Too
but
Cool
at
was
had...
crafted as a teenage version of Right Said Fred's I'm Too Sexy.
Wait, what? Is
that
your thought?
That was a quote I pulled.
Oh, because I was like, when Too Cool happened, I was just like, this is overly produced. Is this supposed to be a bad song? Like, what's the
is it? That's the seat where they're all sequined up, right?
Yes.
There's a bonfire.
At the bonfire, yeah.
Okay.
Can we?
Like, here's the thing.
Are we on costumes?
I was just going to say really quick, I don't know what the songs are. None of the songs I thought were distinct or catchy enough for me to remember what they were.
Except the finale, not finale, but the...
This is real.
This is me.
For my generation, that is a super huge bop. And I, like, weirdly...
Oh, no, that
I
one
had,
was good. You're right.
I had a visceral moment with it where I was like, why am I, like, getting goosebumps and tearing up for a second? Because when I was 12 years old, I was like, hell yeah. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And like dramatic. And I was like, this is exactly what I hope theater camp's gonna be like.
And was it?
Okay, so there's one other instance I did want to add in real quick before we go into the calamity that is the costuming of this film. The one other one was at Stage Door, there was a singer-songwriter night. I don't know if we recall.
I do. That was always my favorite event. I love
Sorry. I'm
singer-songwriter.
not deep sighing that. I'm deep sighing the fact that everything in this is called a jam.
That's fair. That's very
Yeah.
fair.
The
The beach
pajama
jam.
jam, the beach jam, final jam. I'm like, pick
Well,
another
because
word. Pick another
jam's
word.
a cool word, John. Jam's the cool word that we're forcing onto the generation that is
Jam
watching this
info
movie.
jam to me is like we're improvising though.
Yeah.
Not a concert. It's not a performance type thing. To
Yeah. We're
me, when you
jamming. What
like
they're doing are showcases. They are not
Yes.
jams. They are showcases. A
Yes.
jam session is when you grab your instrument and you just vibe out with somebody else on an instrument.
What like I missed in this movie is in the original Fame movie when they do hot lunch jam. Like that's a real jam. I wanted that in this movie, but we
Even,
didn't get it.
yeah, even not a good movie. But this did make me think of it a lot. The movie Raise Your Voice with Hilary Duff. It's a really awkward moment in that movie, but it feels a lot more motivated. There is like a quote unquote jam session early on where all the kids are like outside in the courtyard. It's got like one kid with like a maraca and they're all going, ooh, yeah. It's really awkward and weird, but like it's so much less awkward than calling any of these showcases jams in this
Yeah.
movie, I think.
Anyway, sorry, D-Speeds. What were you about to say about singer-songwriter?
No, you're fine. No, I mean, we also had what Camper Showcase. That was, I guess, maybe the one, but that was like the final jams we could audition to get into it. And it was
Oh,
like,
yeah.
hosted by like four campers.
Yeah, it was usually hosted by like four senior campers.
And it was like, who's hosting Camper Showcase
Yeah,
this year?
it was a big honor to be picked to host it.
Yeah, I mean, I hosted it in my time. What kind of, you know, it's not, it's not, you know, it's not. But singer-songwriter night
Sorry. No,
was.
it was too, like, even to us, the counselors, we were always excited to hear who was hosting it. We were like, oh, which of our kids is going to host it?
You're in on
What
the
was your opening
drama.
number was important. Ours was
Yeah.
Book of Mormon.
Okay.
I still remember that. That was great. I remember that now. That was great. I'm sorry. I loved all that shit with Stage Door. That stuff
I
was
know
so fun.
all the camp shit, and then like especially there was also the showcase of like the counselors, that's the word.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah, the
the
staff
staff talent
show.
show and everything.
Yeah. But so real quick, singer songwriter, I remember my senior year. Oh God, am I gonna say this in a public forum?
Do you want me to cut it? I could cut it if you
No,
want.
I'm gonna say this. So, the first love of my life was at camp.
Aww.
And the first time, so any a girl had ever said I love you to me, and the first time I ever said I love you to somebody was at camp. But there was so much drama leading up to it. We had been best friends for a while. We both said we liked each other, but we didn't live near each other because, you know, camp. And then when I got to camp, she was dating someone.
No.
And there was so much will they, won't they, and like flirting, and I was like, but you have a boyfriend, what's going on? And I decided for singer-songwriter night, I had a song I had written about her,
Oh
and I performed it in
my
front of everyone, including her. And I had been sitting next to her, and they're like, Derek Speedy, come on up, sing your song. I sang my song that was so explicitly, clearly about her.
God.
Came back down, sat down next to her, and she goes, "Oh, that was a good song." And then
Oh
everybody clears out, and oh God, I really hope she never listens to this. We're still good friends, but she'll be mad at me for this. Because this is also, let's be clear, this is my side of the story.
Yeah.
So we were in the little courtyard in front of the nurse's station, which was, you know, where the singer-songwriter had happened. And as it departed, this was a classic move was, "Hey, do you want me to wait to get do you want me to wait for you to get your meds?"
Yes, that was, I know that was the move because our instructions were to break that up.
Right by the nurse's station.
Yeah.
And I was like, "No, you should probably go to bed." And she's like, what? I was like, you have a boyfriend. And then, because we both had been at the camp for like 7 years, luckily like all the counselors knew us, I have never gotten in a larger public fight than that night. We're like screaming at each other in
Oh
this
my God.
courtyard of the nurses' station.
How did I not hear about this?
And like literally, like there's like I think there's like four counselors like just kind of like watching the perimeter, watching us, and like it is way past curfew, and we are just screaming at each other again in the way that like high schoolers do, not in a way that's like at all, I mean toxic, yes, but like toxic in a like a teenage way, not in like
Yeah,
a
it's high stakes to you. It's not high stakes in the grand scheme
no,
of life.
yeah, absolutely, like screaming dramatically in the way that like it would be an episode of Glee. Like we're again, we're remember we're theater kids,
Yes.
and yeah, it's like way past curfew, and like they're like shuffling everybody else upstairs to go to bed, and like they're just letting us go, and then it ends, and like I remember like crying on Susie Knowles's shoulder up until like 10:30. Which was super late
Super
for
late.
past curfew. And,
Yeah, we were usually at the bar by
I
then.
don't know
So.
what was that. Like,
But
I had
anyway,
a
that's
very
just
different camp
so camp.
experience.
That's so camp to me. So, like,
Yeah.
there are things in this movie that, like,
So, like, when it's finally revealed that Mitchie was lying because Tess is being an uber bitch about everything.
She is. She has a point that Mitchie was lying, and she did. She should have been called out for it. But the way Tess did it was horrible.
She basically just went poor.
But like, it
Yeah.
should have been D-Speed's story in a way, because it was very downplayed, I feel like. Like,
Yeah,
I
it
don't
was.
think the emotions were to tie in your story to talking about Camp Rock, by the way, Derek
No, I just
Speed.
wanted to talk about my story.
No, but it is true
We're
though,
doing a
especially
podcast?
like you're talking about like being theater kids, but even like these kids at this camp, I mean, they're all like writing their own songs. It's not like they're just there to learn how to play music. They're learning there to they're there to learn how to be artists and everything. And artists are sensitive and feel things very deeply and want to get it out and express it. And on top of that, they're teenagers. And teenagers also want all of those things. So you take the performance artist and you take the teenager, and things should be blowing up. And it would be melodramatic, yes, but it would also be very realistic.
But it's
And
also a
like,
decom, so they have to like not go too f extreme.
Well, so that's the thing too. Did you see Theater Camp, both of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The one note, I randomly ran into a bunch of stage door people at the screening I went to, and
Wait, I ran into when I saw it in Philadelphia, I ran into somebody who had worked at Stage Door in the 90s.
ha!
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was so cool. Sorry, go ahead.
But we all said afterwards, we're like, oh yeah, I liked it. It was good. It was good. Like I had such nostalgia. I felt like I got called out for sure. But the one thing that it was missing that Camp Rock did in the Disney version of it was like camp is horny as hell. What can I say? Theater camp, music
Yeah.
camp, horny as
Yeah.
hell.
Yeah, Mitchie
Yeah.
is super horny
She is
for Shay
in a Disney Channel
in a
friendly
Disney
way.
Channel friendly way. When they're talking on the lake or in the canoe or
That's dating.
whatever.
At camp, that's dating. That's
Well,
already dating.
yeah,
Everyone
that's
knows.
like supposed to be. That's my, because they were like, because him, Nick, and Kevin were all like, when we were at camp, blah, blah, blah. We were at camp like 3 years ago. And I'm just like, how old are you?
Yeah.
Nick.
Also, is he supposed to be another camper? Is he supposed to be a counselor? Is he supposed, because
He
if he is,
teaches a class. He teaches
yeah.
hip hop dance
So
class.
that's even not even taking
If you
age
can
into the
call it that.
equation.
That's what it's
That,
called.
yeah, I have, yeah, and let me tell you, I want to learn how to do hip hop dance from Joe fucking Jonas. But
That was so weird.
it was awkward to watch. And that was again another moment where I'm like, you literally have Alison Stoner right there.
Yes.
Although their dancing that they improvise it's like the classic TikTok thing where it's like, and now Caitlyn, blah 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 blah. It's like,
And she
Oh wait,
does like
so
that's my
good.
favorite. Wait, my favorite line in the movie. Let me see if I can do it like Mitchie. Wow, she's really good. It sounds like she's saying it sarcastically, and I choose to read it that way because it is not really good.
Also, okay, Alison Stoner's character.
Oh,
I
they were
don't
one of my
under.
first crushes. Like growing up on Disney, watching Disney Channel, Alison Stoner, they were one of my first crushes.
But, like, I don't understand what her character is supposed to be because, like, it feels like she's supposed to be the Kelsey of this movie, but,
Yeah,
like,
she
she's
wants to be
mean
a
to Demi
producer.
Lovato.
Can we just time out real quick? Sorry, we edit this out.
Okay.
Pronouns are kind of all over the place for these people. In
Yeah.
this movie, I believe Alison Stoner takes they, them, and then I believe Demi takes
They,
she,
them.
her again now.
So, okay, that's, I did have a question about that because Demi was going by they, them for a while and then went back to she, her. But I'd heard somewhere that they had said, I'd just rather go back to she, her because it's easier for people. And I don't know if
Oh.
that's actually what they feel. So,
I'm keeping this in too because I mean this is important and I
yeah.
apologize
I
for
did not know about Alison Stoner,
mislabeling.
though.
I
So,
did not
thank you
know
for
about
that.
Alison Stoner. No, but
Well,
maybe don't
there's
keep this in
TikTok
because I
about it
don't
now,
like
right?
how I phrase that. Pronouns are all over the place with these people. That's maybe not the way I should have said that.
Well, our usage of the pronouns is all
Our
over the place
usage,
too.
yes. Yes.
So I
I don't
think,
mean
the human beings that are
yeah.
in this
So
movie.
my
It might be
apologies.
easier if we just refer to Mitchie and Caitlin, who are the characters who are both she,
Got
her.
it.
Hells
So
yeah. Don't wanna, assume.
I don't understand what is Caitlyn's deal because
Camper today, a top executive producer tomorrow.
well, so Caitlyn, when Mitchie and Caitlyn first meet, they're like bonding. Clearly they're gonna be the friends. But when Mitchie starts hanging out with Tess and company, Caitlin is just like mean to her, mean to Mitchie.
Yeah,
And
there's very little grace coming from Caitlin. Like, she seems very judgmental.
like there needs to there's that
And I
moment that
wouldn't.
sh that Mitchie stands up to Tess for in Caitlin's honor and everything, and that's when they're friends. But I'm like,
Yeah, I
what do
yeah.
you want, Caitlin? Like,
I feel
you
the
want a
same way
friend?
that Caitlin's very wishy-washy. And like, even after, like, oh yeah, it turned out Caitlin was right about Tess and everything, but she started off super cool to me and then got really mean
It
for no
doesn't change the
reason.
fact that
And like,
you're a
I wouldn't trust that.
dick.
Right. Yeah. I would be like, I wouldn't trust that person to be my friend. They're so wishy-washy.
Because, like, once Caitlin finds out Mitchie's secret, and
I
she
can't
starts
wait to
like,
tell everyone.
I can't wait. And then, like, there's that moment during taco night where she just eats a chip, like, menacingly, being like, I know your secret.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there like, why are you being mean to her? Like, this is a moment for you to be like, okay, I am
Yeah,
going to be
like,
your therapist when Tess throws you to the curb inevitably, because that's what
right.
happens.
Right. Yeah, like I yeah, Caitlin comes off as like super harsh, super judgy, and like honestly not that different from Tess.
Because at least in like Mean Girls, Janice Ian was nice to Katie at first and like plotted with Katie to take down them.
Yeah, it
I
was really
think that's
Katie
what
who
they
let
needed to
Janice down.
do or
Yeah.
something.
Yeah, there needed to be a moment where like Mitchie really hurt Caitlyn's feelings and dumping her for Tess.
Yes.
Like there need it needed to feel more earned that Caitlyn would be so, because like obviously Caitlyn understands like the allure of having somebody like Tess as your friend. So like you because it happened to her too. So you would think that she would be a little more graceful and have a little more patience for Mitchie.
She's also 15, so let's remember that.
I mean, fair. Yeah,
Maybe.
you're right.
True. Written by 40-year-olds. So
Right. So she's an aggregate of 32.
Okay, we've been teasing it. Let's talk about costumes because we
Oh
have
my
to.
God.
This is like this is like the worst of early 2000s stuff. where they throw everything on people, I feel like.
There's bell sleeves, there's riding boots mixed with like knee-length skirts, there's
Yeah,
paisley
but that's
pants all
so
over the
in right
place.
now. Come on.
It is, but like just not mixed well and not mixed in a way that makes these actors look like the children that they are.
The costumes in Too Cool. I was
Oh, the
again.
cowl neck.
Well, so they're wearing. Don't get me. I don't want to get started on the cowl neck. I
You're
wanted to talk about
astonishing and
the
shady.
colors of their costumes
Oh, yes, okay.
because, like, you have Tess in all gold, then you have the backup singers in all silver, and then you have the backup dancers in the silver dress but the blue leggings. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Why were all the backup dancers that would randomly come in like adults?
Why are there two like hip hop dancers in the opening montage? I'm like, this is a music camp, not a acting or arts camp or something.
Yeah.
Oh, the back flip off the bus right to start the that's great.
Yeah, the people who this sing Hasta La Vista, basically. The hip hop rappers.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. What? Where are we pulling
Sorry,
these
the
set
hip hop
pieces from?
dancing rappers. That's what I meant to say. That what's her butt? Anna Maria Perez de Tagle.
Yeah, what's her character's name?
Ella.
Of course.
Oh, Ella, that's cute.
Yeah, but Ella sings with them, and you're like, why?
I think this is from Lola's song that she sings in the cafeteria because I wrote it pretty early in my notes. But the one that really bothered me so much that I had to point it out was highlighter yellow shredded deer t-shirt.
I don't even know what you're
Some
talking about, but
one of
that's
the backup dancers, I'm certain it's that scene. I'm like picturing it now. It was like she was wearing like the capri leggings because there's capris all over the place in this because it's summertime, but we can't wear shorts because it's the Disney Channel. So there's capris all over the place. One of the backup dancers is wearing this like long, like tunic length almost highlighter yellow t-shirt that's like all shredded up in the front. So there's a tank top underneath, but the print on the shirt has a picture of a deer. And it's very,
I don't remember this, and I
I'm
watched it
gonna have to
twice.
see if I can find it because I kept looking at that backup dancer and her shirt because I was like, who even thought this was a little bit cool, a little bit hip hop, a little bit acceptable for this movie? It was so ugly.
the one that got me was Tess's green muumuu. For the
That was
pajama
horrible too.
jam.
That's when I had to write out
Tess
like the paisley prints, just all over the cr just crazy.
is another one that, another character that I'm very confused by because they do show you that.
John, I'm starting to think teenage girls confuse you.
In DComs. Because in this one, like, they make you feel sorry for her because in the beginning there's that one phone call that she has with her mom when her mom's on tour or something because everyone's parent is in the music industry at this camp apparently
Except for Mitchie's.
yeah
and that
oh well
one
no
guy
Caitlin's parents are on a cruise ship, so
maybe
fuck
they're
her.
performing, excuse me.
Oh, that's true, that's true. I'm assuming they're cruise directors.
But we're supposed to feel sorry for Tess, and then she says the most vile things throughout the whole movie. And then at the end, when she sings Two Stars and her mom gets distracted by a phone call and she runs off stage and cries, I'm like, I don't feel sorry for her. I
Yeah,
just spent a
they
whole
wanted.
hour and change not liking her, and she says the most like awful, awful things to
Yeah.
people. I
There is
knew she
a.
wasn't. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I knew she wasn't gonna say this, but at the end of when she says to Mitchie, she goes, "See you next summer." I was like, "Tuesday?"
That would have been great. No, they were going for one of my favorite arcs in any of these types of movies. I love when we have a bully character who ends up redeemable by the end, even if they're absolutely horrible. I love what a good like redemption arc for a bully or a mean girl or a jock or whoever. But they just didn't, they didn't work for it at all. Like, they wanted to give, like, oh, here's why she's so sad. Here's why she's so lonely and acts out. But, like, they didn't do the proper work for it to actually hit you emotionally at all. And again, because that is a very true thing, especially with teenagers, that they bully because they're lacking affection somewhere in their lives. That's like, there's real psychology behind that. And that's clearly what they're trying to do with Tess, but they don't make it obvious enough how much that's hurting her. So you're just like, okay, but why is she so horrible?
So did you want the charm bracelet to be like, instead of every time my mom wins a Grammy, it's like every time my mom misses one of my performances, she gets me a charm.
Yeah, like, yeah. And or, they weren't hitting it hard enough, and they weren't tying that to the things that she was picking on Mitchie for. And there's like, there's a very obvious thing here that they could have done. She's jealous that Mitchie has such a great relationship with her mother. Mitchie's mom is awesome. I'll talk about it later. Connie's my favorite character in the movie. She fucking rules. And she's awesome. Tess is jealous of that. Tess does not have that. And that's not how they tie it in at all.
That's a better story.
It's like, a way better story.
So good.
Yeah. And it just takes so much of this movie, I think, doesn't hit because the script, like on a story level, not even just the dialogue, but just the story editing and everything, feels like a first draft.
And it took more people to write this.
Yeah.
And Shady, to your point from earlier, like, how does the music fit in? And that's the reason High School Musical was so good, is because even though it felt like there were music numbers, like, the music felt well integrated into the story.
It was like really heightening what the characters were feeling. There was a reason why they were singing at certain points.
And it was a mixture of like diegetic versus like performance.
We love that word. Yeah.
Because like even the opening number, when she all of a sudden runs to her keyboard and is playing and kind of singing along.
She's doing like air guitar and everything.
Yeah.
That was very endearing. I did think like that little intro moment for Mitchie was quite endearing.
That was in the trailer for sure. That was her going like that behind the piano was like, was absolutely a part of the trailer.
But like, really, the only songs that make sense narratively are the ones at Final Jam, because the other jams seemed forced.
Yeah.
Seemed like, oh, we've had too long with book scenes. We need now a musical number.
Right. And that's fine, too, to some degree, because the story is that this is a music camp. There is going to be music, and not all the music is going to tie into what the characters are actually going through. It is the song that they're performing. But it's not structured the right way to really feel like that. Like you said, it feels very forced. It feels like, oh, we really want this to be a musical. Here's this song.
I think the other part of it, too, is like, to use my, you know, my story. But like, no, the idea of like, except for Joe Jonas's character, nobody's actually actively writing a new song or like in the process of writing. Like this idea of like creating and like, hey, here's this thing that happened this summer or is happening.
There's like
I need to write about it. There's nothing about writing here.
So, yeah, it would be great if there were some insight into the actual creative process.
So being like, man, I have this song I want to write for Final Jam, but it's just not right.
In the Final Jam, like the countdown to Final Jam montage, and that's what I'm calling it, you do see Caitlin and Mitchie working on her song. And I kind of wish that was like more of the story of like Mitchie being like, I have this song, it sounds great, but like I can do more.
But I want to work
with,
you know, I might do, and I also like, it's not ready. I don't know if I want to like finish it or if I just want to be a background.
Yeah, the main story should have been the writing of this song, because we hear parts of that song in the beginning of the movie too. So that's clearly something she was writing before she even went to Camp Rock.
But it feels like it's a finished product and she's just like getting the courage to do it.
Exactly. The story should have been her trying to be like, oh, I really want to, I have this dream to be a great singer-songwriter and I just can't finish this song. And that's the main story. And the stuff with Tess, the stuff with Joe Jonas, that's the side stuff. Instead, they kind of can't decide what the main story is. Is it the Cinderella thing with Joe Jonas? Is it this like rivalry with Tess? they're not, I mean, they interconnect a bit, but it doesn't feel like in a super strong way where like you can just say it's all one story. And
Is this
the
really
songwriting
Tess's
thing,
story, now that I think about it?
I think a better version of this movie could have made Tess the deuteragonist, definitely. I think it should be more
The
Tess's story than Joan
what?
Jones. The deuteragonist.
What is that?
Your protagonist is your main character. Your deuteragonist is your secondary character who's almost as important and has as much of a developed arc as the protagonist.
It comes out of this classic Coen Brothers film, with the character of the
No,
dude. The dude is actually short for the deuteragonist.
this is no, it's spelled like Deuteronomy. It's like a biblical thing.
Now
Or
I'm thinking
Cats,
of, now I'm thinking of Cats.
the
Well, because she is the one that knows everything at the end of the day. Like Tess hears Shane talking about the voice,
Yeah,
and
she's pulling all the strings. Mitchie's merely a reactive character.
right. So is this really Tess's movie?
If Tess had a stronger arc, I would definitely say it should be her movie. But her arc is just too fluff. It's just like it's kind of there's wisps of something there, but it doesn't take a shape.
So, to totally switch gears on everyone, I read on IMDb that this took 25 days to film and 7 months to edit.
Seven
I
months and
laughed my
three days
ass
to
off.
write.
I would hate to see what they had, what kind of raw footage they had to work with, because that was one of my major notes, was that on top of like the script just being not well formed, the editing is really awkward and bad. And I don't want to blame the editors if it took them that long. They must have not had good stuff to work with, but like, Jesus Christ.
Or they worked on it for like 2 minutes a day for 7 months.
Yeah, they were doing that
Because they're like,
between Hannah Montana episodes.
I have to turn off my computer, otherwise my eyes are gonna bleed watching all of this footage.
Because, I mean, I'm sorry, the editing is really, it's a real chop job.
The acting is also really bad.
Yeah, well, like you
Really,
said, it's a
really
lot, I'm
bad.
assuming it's a lot of, and I do, because we've talked about this before, I have a lot more grace for child actors than you do.
Yeah, you
This was
do.
rough. This
No, but
was
it is a
rough.
thing too that it's like, what's this guy's name? Is his name like Mike Diamond, Matthew Diamond, the guy who directed this?
Matthew Diamond, yeah.
Like, let's remember, like, High School Musical was Kenny Ortega,
Yeah.
and like, but it is
Right.
so funny. So like, part of the like, again, I kind of grew up with these movies, but there was a reason that High School Musical was such a
Was a phenomenon.
phenomenon. And the thing is too is that what even as a kid what was so exciting was all of the like behind the scenes and like you know the like mini camp they went to for the 2 weeks beforehand. John, I know we talked about that, but like where they like did all the rehearsals for the 2 weeks beforehand and then they did it, and it was like the biggest budgeted DCOM that Disney had allowed so far. So like there was so much going on behind the scenes where like you could see that all translate on screen, where this does feel thrown together.
Right, they had the skeleton formula
Yeah.
of the High School Musical franchise. They plugged in, they did a
Summer
Mad
camp
Lib.
instead of school, rock instead of pop, which it's the same thing, but
Right,
they're going for a closer to rock aesthetic with
there's a
this.
showcase instead of a callback.
Yeah. It's
There's
it feels like a cash grab.
kind of a love triangle, even though the antagonist and the hot guy, like they're not compatible really at
Don't even
all.
talk.
That's another thing too. Like Sharpay is a bully and she's awful, but she's so fun and fabulous that you love her anyway. Like, and she doesn't need to have a redemption arc because her she's fun to hate. She's like a lovable bully.
And
And
she's a character that is always the bully in all three
yeah.
movies. So now
Right,
I'm
yeah. They're
wondering.
not trying to like force you to like feel bad for her when it's unearned, but she's super fun to watch. Tess is just miserable. And I feel I don't want to say anything bad about the actress. I think the actress is fine. This is probably something really, really early for her. I don't know her from anything else. And she seems really young. She does not seem as old as Ashley Tisdale was, and certainly not as
No.
experienced as Ashley Tisdale was by the time the first High School Musical came out. So I don't want to put the blame on the actress. It is the writing of the character and the direction of the character. She is just miserable and mean and not fun. And you
She
can have a fun bully, or you can have a bully that you end up feeling some kind of feeling for. She is neither.
was 16 at the time of this film's release.
Okay. Yeah, she seems, I will say, like, this cast does feel very young.
Yes, which is good
Not
for them. Like
really.
they cast
Which
actual
is
young.
different than High School Musical.
Yeah, because that was people in their late teens, early 20s. Except for what I think Corbin Bleu was like the only actual teenager for High School Musical.
Yeah, he was really young. He was like, yeah, 16.
So I'm looking up
14.
Megan Martin played Tess. And the only thing that really pops out besides her being in Mean Girls 2, which is she's play I think she plays
Oh, I have seen that. She's the Katie in that.
she's the Katie in that. She was
I have
in
seen that. Okay. Well,
she
I'm
played
sorry for her and her agents.
she was in the 10 Things I Hate About You TV series,
Oh, gosh.
which I didn't even know happened. She plays Bianca.
Oh,
Oh,
that makes sense. That's
gosh.
the younger sister. That's the girly sister. That makes sense for her.
And then everyone comes back for Camp Rock 2, the final jam. Oh, fuck you.
No, but here's the thing too, is like
Fuck you. That's the
the fact
name of
that
the
they
movie.
knew the second one was gonna be the only sequel,
Yeah,
like
they were
whereas
like,
like
we
High
know
School
we're
Mu
not, this is not a trilogy.
where High School Musical was like, we're gonna keep pumping them out. You guys want a fourth one? Sure, we can do that.
Where
They released the third one theatrically.
I'm on
This
the
one, they were like,
IMDb
oh,
page
two of
for
them.
it, where they're playing a scene that's highly choreographed and almost everyone is in a flannel shirt.
Oh, well,
Speaking of wardrobe,
I guess it's more camp.
Grunge came to Camp Rock late.
The hair looks so much better in this one. Do you guys want to do the sequel? Should we do the sequel?
Can
Think
we do a
about
live re wait, can we do a live react where we're all
Oh my God,
blasted?
yeah, we should do that.
Can we get absolutely blasted and do a live, a lot li not like, just like a live response?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Is there anything? Oh, Alison Stoner is actually dancing more in this one. Cool.
Oh, good. They
Is
should.
there anything else y'all want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Oh, I think I'll have plenty of sharps and flats for you.
Yeah, everything else I have written down fits into sharps and flats.
Great, let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Not surprisingly, I have more flats than I do sharps.
Yeah.
So what do you want to end on a high note, or do you want to like start on the high note? Start with the
I
good
think
and
it's
end
gonna
on the
be
bad.
quick, so let's start on the high note.
Okay. So here are my sharps. Sharp for the trumpets being the juice dispensers.
Yep,
Oh
I have that written down too.
my God, I did the same thing. When that happened, I was like, what is this? Why isn't this the movie?
Yeah, I know. If more of the movie was that energy, I would forgive so many other things. I'd be like, well, this is wacky. This is awesome.
I also sharped Kevin Jonas and Anna Maria Perez de Ta Tagle because they were. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce her surname, but like they were so funny, and they're the only things that are like driving the movie for me. Because when they get to book scenes, I'm like, I checked out. I'm like, oh, we're acting? Great. I'm gonna just stare at my phone. I also sharped Julie Brown during We Rock, which is the final song.
Oh, that's the one they all sing together.
And she is in her own world. I
Yeah.
will say that.
That's another, just a quick note about wardrobe. I also thought it was hilarious that it's summertime and her character was constantly wearing long bell sleeve blouses with a leather vest over top. Girl, I know that stinks. I know those pits stink. I love her though, so she can do no wrong.
And then my last sharp is for the goofs in the movie because it just shows that it was filmed in 25 days. There's so many mistakes that I was like, what was cut? What was the other take? Like there was a one of the dancers in Start the Party, the classroom scene where he's teaching them, that messed up hardcore, but it wasn't like we're learning the dance mess up. It was like no, everyone's supposed to be doing a uniformed movement and you fucked up. So like, and there's things like that throughout the movie. Like yeah.
It's a pretty sloppy movie.
Like when when Shane is running away at the beginning and he trips in the bushes and everything, that was an accident, but kept in on purpose. Shady, why don't you go next with your sharps?
All right. So as I alluded to before, Connie, I thought was awesome. I thought she was a great character. I love a supportive mom in general. But I liked that. I don't know. She was just, I like that actress a lot. I know she was the mom on Wizards of Waverly Place.
She sure was.
Okay. Great. Cause that's a show I used to get stoned and watch in college sometimes. And I always thought she was super funny and like had like this like great personality. So I loved seeing her here. And I think she's just like a really fun character. I think she is the only character that I was like, that's the person I want to follow. Like she was just a good person. She was not annoying. She didn't lie. She wasn't mean. I just really liked her. So big ups to Connie. And then I really liked Mitchie's family's house. I really liked the house. I thought it was a cute house. I liked the set decoration for it. I think in the kitchen, her and her mom are at the table and there's like a shelf full of like these colorful like glass bottles with the light shining through. And I was like, how fun. I love a good set design like that. That's all.
That's all.
And the trumpet juice dispenser.
And the trumpet juice. All right, D-Speeds, what are your sharps? Besides the trumpet juice dispenser.
shout out to my man, trumpet juice number two. the one that gives the blue juice, not the green juice. Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Because the green juice is probably what? Gatorade? I hope.
Who's to say? Who's to say?
I mean, it's all dyed water anyway. Let's be real here. Like,
yeah. I'm sorry, but this is real. You're the voice. That duet is absolutely a sharp for me. To me, that still is. I'm like, all right, this is the reason this movie was made, and I almost forgive it. Number two, the drummer.
Andy,
more
the
drummer,
drummer,
please, and more Andy.
Okay. Yeah, he was fun.
I'm not gonna lie, he was a little much at times, where like I like that moment in the class where Shane was like,
"You're a drummer, dude.
You're a drummer, dude. Now let's take that
rhythm's in your
that
hands.
Rhythm, yeah, let's bring that rhythm to your feet." And you're like,
"Okay, but drummers also have to have rhythm in their feet." But okay, it's fine.
Yeah,
he meant for choreography, not for like playing the pedals or anything like that.
Right. He meant put it in your joints.
Yes.
Yes.
Not
yes,
your
yes.
extremities.
More accurate. Yeah. And then
we should have gotten
shout
a
out
pass at the script. Let's put it that way.
Shout out to the other 2/3 of the Jonas Brothers. Not that I really think Joe Jonas did a bad job in this, really, by any means.
He's clearly not an actor, and it's a part that required a lot of acting. And
yeah, because Nick was more charismatic.
Yeah.
And
Kevin had the funny.
And Kevin was just, the dumb.
Was just a sweet. What a protects that man at all costs.
Somebody get him a birdhouse.
Just in general have a fondness for Kevins in the world because my dad's name is Kevin.
Aww. Do you have anyone else have any other sharps?
Nope.
Great. Flats.
What did we not mention yet?
My first flat is for the privilegedness in this movie.
No.
That
Sorry,
we didn't really talk about.
I was just talking about Mitchie's family's house and how cute and nice and well decorated it is. And I'm sorry, you have a house like that. You are not poor. And she's the poor one.
That's the thing. It's like, she's not.
Her parents both own businesses. They are both business owners.
That are both expanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they are upper middle class. They are upwardly mobile middle class family, and they are the quote unquote poor family in this movie. That's insane to me.
Tess has the best entrance, coming out of the limo with the fan blowing in her face. That's off camera.
Oh yeah, she had like her own wind machine. Yeah, she was like Beyonce for that moment. That one moment, like, and that's it.
But then they start talking, and there's all this like white privilege going around. I threw up a little bit.
Oh yeah.
I also flatted the lag between songs, aka the book scenes. I also flatted Shane's hair. I know it's a product of 2000, early 2000s. It was bad then. It's bad now. I also flatted Brown for being an idiot. That's the uncle, the camp owner. He's such an idiot half the time. Like, okay.
But he's cool because he's got an Australian accent.
True. I flatted the recap montage during Here I Am because it was useless. Flat for everything being a jam.
I've got some jelly in here.
I'm also gonna flat Brown's like hidden message at the end, because I was like, what? Where
to
he
the end of final jab.
To the end of final jab. And I was just like, this is dumb and weak at the same time, because yeah.
It's also weird because, bro, you own this place. You make the rules.
Right.
You don't need to come up with a secret workaround. You can just tell them directly, all right, you're not part of the jam, but you can perform. But you just won't be judged with everyone else.
Yes, you'll be disqualified,
that's what it
but
is.
You can perform.
That's, you can't win, but you can perform, which is all she wants anyway. She doesn't want to win. She just wants to perform.
And I'm going to flat that there is no hot lunch jam moment.
I feel that. That is like all of these kinds of movies, even going back to Raise Your Voice, the good version of it is Fame.
Yes.
We already have it. And why wouldn't you just keep going back to, like, you can do Fame as if, I mean, they did do it and it wasn't very good, but like, that is a franchise that you can go back to as a franchise, and just, it's the same basic idea, brand new cast.
I feel like that's what this needed to be. This needed to be a combination of High School Musical and Fame. And they focused more on the High School Musical aspect rather than being Fame. Shady, you're next. Flats.
All right. Flats. I have for flats. The turnaround between you can't go to camp and haha, just kidding, you're going to camp was really awkward and fast, and like should have been the warning very early
How
on.
How did that happen, by the way? School is done, and then all of a sudden the mom is like, business is slow in the summer, so I got a job at the camp you wanted to go to. Surprise!
It's like, also, sorry, you're a catering business. Summer is absolutely like a great time for you. People are having picnics
parties.
All the time. They're having graduation parties, 4th of July. Like, there's so much going on for catering in the summer, but you know, whatever. But like, it also just felt like it was so unnecessary, like the first like 5-ish minutes of like that tension of you can't go to camp.
Oh, and
it
then
was
her
so
talking to her friend that we never see again.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, so that she can learn that one Chinese phrase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It couldn't just be that she learned it from any other source.
That she then calls back later when her mom is like, you have all your friends at school. And she goes, no, I have one friend.
That was pretty funny. You know what? I'm sharpening that moment. She does only have one friend. And it's funny that they call that out. But yeah, the entire like first, it's only like 5 minutes, but it's such a quick like, oh, you're not going to camp, you can't go to camp, I really want to, oh no, we're going to camp, like just start off with the announcement that you're going to camp. We can get all of that information in that scene, and then like it just felt so unnecessary to me, and really just was a herald for how slapdash the rest of this movie would feel. Where are the counselors? I put that in all caps. Where are the counselors? Where are the adults? There is like three people on
two.
The kitchen staff. There are
three
two
of them,
adults.
And one of them is the chef.
Yeah,
four.
Yeah.
Four, because the dad's there too.
Because the dad's
yeah.
Keep forgetting the dad's there.
But also, he's running a hardware store. I don't get
Did
it.
Did he close
anyway.
Down for the summer as well? Because business.
Yeah, we're really slow in the summer, you know.
They don't even have lifeguards. They go out on a canoe at some point. They're just allowed to get a canoe. No, a child will drown and your camp will be closed forever. Oh my gosh, the legalities involved here. I have a real problem, and I have this problem to some degree with theater camp. I have this problem with basically every movie except for one that takes place at a summer camp that's fully operating. It's just, it's never done right. It's never done right where I'm like,
except
I'm sorry.
Except for Friday the 13th.
Well,
Friday the 13th part six is the only one where it's operational. That's actually not the one I'm referring to. The only movie that is actually about a summer camp that to me actually captures what it feels like to work as a counselor at a summer camp is Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
It is.
Because it's about the counselors and the kids.
Yeah, it's
secondary.
About the counselors. Right. But like, it also, even though it's, you know, this big irreverent comedy and everything, it's so true to like how it can feel in the moment. And there's just, I don't understand, like, this place can't be operating. It can't be operating. It makes me nervous seeing these kids running around with no adults. Not even like any, like, the only older teen is Joe Jonas, which, question mark, again, we don't know his age. We don't know what his role is at this camp. He teaches one class that he shouldn't be teaching because, sorry, the guy can't move. Like, he can do, like, his, like, rock star moves when he's performing, but he's not a dancer.
Dude, that, like, have your knees kind of close together, like you're trying to hold yourself peeing, but then rocking.
Oh, yeah, who's
like,
that?
The little shoulder shake
with the shoulder. In my head, that is still the epitome of like cool.
Yeah, who's that? Like, who's that lady? That famous like internet meme of that woman teaching hip hop. That, but she's so white. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly.
Where she's like,
now
hit,
it's hip hop.
Hit.
Now it's hip hop. That's great. Yeah,
everybody grab a hat and grab a mic.
Yeah,
follow me.
So I don't understand the counselor situation. I don't understand the teacher situation, the class situation. What else do I have? Caitlin's music is laughably bad. I actually loved that, so maybe I should sharp that instead. It's so bad, and they're like so insistent that it's great, and it's like.
Well, we only heard like a minute of it. We didn't really hear the whole thing. So
she's really good.
She's really good. The minute is just like. Like, it's not even a tune. It's just like little video game sounds. Another thing okay, I do remember this. There's a point where Nick Jonas's character says something about how the golden rule is don't lie. And that's not true. That's never been the case. The golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated.
They call it out, though.
No.
Yeah, but then what they say is actually the golden rule is...
They
you.
Still
yes.
did it wrong. He says the golden rule is don't lie, and he's correcting Kevin Jonas. I forget what Kevin Jonas said it was, but he also said something wrong. So they're all just saying something wrong.
But at least they called it out, being like, that's not the golden rule, Shane. I was trying to help this movie. That right there. I don't know why.
It doesn't deserve your help.
Sorry, I blacked out for a second, and I don't know what just happened, everyone. I'm
it's
back.
Okay. I'm done with my flats.
Great. D-Speeds. Flats.
Whatever, major loser.
I want to flip a table at that moment.
I feel like we've all kind of hit most of mine.
Yeah.
Two things I just want to bring out are every straight dude ever who knows four chords on a guitar singing directly into the girl's eyes. And then also all of a sudden he has backing vocals harmonizing with him.
Oh yeah.
But also watching Demi watch Joe is so funny. And just like, but it is the thing, like I remember like I had a lot of friends who like were songwriters and like, hey, want to hear my song? I was like, sure. And it's just politely kind of making eye contact, not knowing where you're going to look. So maybe it's a sharp because it's true to life, but.
it's so awkward to watch.
This is a smaller thing, but in the last 8 hours since I watched this film, it's been haunting me. Go back.
No.
And look. No, you have to.
God damn it.
Did anyone notice the random pictures in Demi's locker? They're all of this, like, geeky-looking white dude with this curly hair. And there's, like, seven of them cut out.
Does Mitchie have a boyfriend back at school and she's chasing down this summer camp romance with Shane?
Or
that's a better
literally
movie.
Or does she like Nick Jonas? Whatever his character's name is.
No, it's not Nick Jonas. It is like literally this like
Connect Three.
Doofy looking like.
Fine, I'll get a picture of it if I remember.
We need to find it and you need to put it on the Instagram because I don't know why, but it's haunting me where I'm just like, oh, at least have like some like Connect Three or like some or like other
like
famous rockers
Tess's
in there.
Was
like
it
you can have Tess's mom because then it's like, oh, I want to be friends with her. Her mom is my favorite pop star.
I was keeping an eye
out. I'm assuming
if this person
her mom
was ever gonna. I can't get it out of my head. I'm sorry.
Fine, I'll look it up. I was looking at my notes. The second time I watched it when I was not sober, I wrote down at some point I checked out to look up Jubilee's powers to see if it was more than just fireworks. That's what happened during this movie. I just checked out because I was like, let's look at X-Men because of X-Men 97 and all that.
Yeah, great show.
Also
on Disney Plus.
The reason I'm keeping my Disney Plus right now.
Would we add any of the songs from this movie to your life's playlist? I said no. I didn't write any down. There wasn't
the
one that stood
good.
Out to me. I mean, I did prefer the This Is Me acoustic one version over
disagree.
The
hard disagree. Need to find you, gotta find you. Oh, come on, this is real. Come on, that drop. Oh man,
we might be at a generational impasse. Yeah. Like, yeah. I liked it, I thought it was a good song, and like, I could definitely see if this came out when I was a kid. And I would still dislike the rest of the movie, but I would be into that song.
Shady, stop sending us the picture of the deer.
I'm trying to find a good screenshot of it. Nobody has a good screenshot of it.
I'll use these.
Okay, great. You know what song it sounded so much for my happy ending. I think that's what it kept reminding me of.
You're right.
And I was 2003, like 5 years before this, I was really into Avril Lavigne. So I would have been so into that song. I would have been so into Demi's music. I still like Demi's music. I really do. But I would have been a huge Demi stan if I were 5 years younger, I think.
I was, maybe that's why I liked it, because I was, Avril Lavigne was like the first.
Yeah.
Let Go was like the first album I ever like listened to, like recognized the cover of.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great album. I used to straighten my hair just because of Avril Lavigne, and now my hair can never curl properly again because I straightened it too many times.
Oh, that's nice.
So, thank you, Avril.
D-Speeds, did you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
I mean, that's just what it sounds like in my head all the time, so.
Well, we're done with the episode on that note. Huzzah! We did it! What do
it's
you
over.
Have to plug or promote? Let's start with Shady.
I have my podcast with John, which is Movie Deja Vu, which is wonderful and lovely, and we love it. And also, I am starting a podcast with my sister that will hopefully be the first episode will be published by the time this goes up, I think. And that is called I Love the 90s. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It is a recap show for the VH1 recap show. I Love the 90s.
That's
so fantastic. We are hopefully getting that up soon. We have a few episodes recorded. We just haven't done anything with them yet. Yeah, that's it.
D-Speeds, what do you have to plug or promote?
I'm switching my hat a little bit into like a directing mode. So I will be directing something this fall, to be announced. It's going to be a Melissa Ross play. Keep an eye out. I'm at DerekPenSpeedy.com or follow my Instagram at DSpeeds, for that. And then, I'm also starting kind of a new initiative with that called Actors Playground. Trying to make sure that I'm not going to get sued for that name, because I know there's a couple other people who haven't. But just yeah, keep an eye out on my Instagram for all those announcements at dspeeds23.
Just add an apostrophe after actors.
Exactly.
That'll be good. Actors is the thing, playground. And if you, I don't know, if you want us to do the sequel, let me know, because
I got edibles for us.
Great.
I can't imagine it would be worse.
If anything, it should be better, because they should be a little more comfortable in front of the camera, because it is a little like
We have to do it, don't we?
Yeah, we have to do it. Well, not right now, we'll do it later, but
next summer 25.
You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at buttersongpod. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be talking about Cabin in the Sky, something completely different from this. I hope. Well, band, I'm glad we got together for this one.
Me too. Thank you Derek,
per D Speed's request.
Yes, thank you D Speed's for
guys
putting us on this.
This episode was really good.
Did it go as you hoped?
Sadly, I forgot how much I did not like this movie, so no. Man.
But yes, in a way, because we all were on the same... At least we all agreed. I was very nervous, I have to say.
I was a little bit nervous. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to like tear this apart. And what if D-Speeds is like, no, this movie was like my childhood.
Because like, I know.
Talk bad about it in front of him.
I know I'm not the demo for this, the target audience or anything. So
you're
I was
not
like,
the Demi for this?
I'm
you're not
the
demo for Demi?
No. Well, yeah, I should be. But like,
no, I kind of am the demo for Demi.
For this movie, I am not the target audience. And I was like, maybe it's me. Like, maybe I'm not understanding.
And yeah, no,
I mean, that's so real. That's so me. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Now, even in comparison, like we did the zombies movies before, we've talked, John and I on our other podcast talked about Descendants, which I don't think is good, but I think is very captivating in its way.
It's
and this just, it
this.
Lacked, it this lacked that juice.
Yeah.
Just no, even in the middle of Music Numbers, I was like, all right, I got it. I was like doing a crossword.
Like I said, I looked up Jubilee's Path. I went down a
Google hole.
Anyway. Thank you everyone for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast, and thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.